anything that. Please repeat. All the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions. As a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose. No one can violate the rules laid down in the Vedic literatures. To the chief person who has contributed the Vedas, we offer our respect. Purport by Svangri Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Vedic literatures are the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot violate the injunctions given in the Vedic literatures any more than one can violate the state laws. Any living creature who wants real benefit in life must act according to the direction of the Vedic literature. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for material sense gratification are regulated by the injunctions of the Vedic literature. Sense gratification is just like salt. One cannot take too much or too little. But one must take some salt in order to make one's foodstuff palatable. Those conditioned souls who have come to this material world should utilize their senses according to the direction of the Vedic literature. Otherwise, they will be put into a more miserable condition of life. No human being or demigod can enact laws like those of the Vedic literature because the Vedic regulations are prescribed by the Supreme Lord. End of purport. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Sundavari Paschata Satari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. All the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions as a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose. No one can violate the rules laid down in the Vedic literature. To the chief person who has contributed the Vedas, we offer our respect. This is the demigods are praying to Lord Brahma. I've been to class for a few days. Anyway, the demigods are here praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the to Lord Brahma is the creator of the material situation and also the Vedas are coming from him. He said Lord Brahma heard the Vedas in the form of the Gayatri Mantra, which is expansion of the sound of Krishna's flute. It is explained in the Brahma Samhita. And so Lord Brahma was enlightened from within the heart by the Lord. So he is from, and from his he has spoken the Vedas. And later on the Vedas were written down. But now all, practically all, 96% have disappeared. But anyway, they're the rules. Here they're saying that the living entities are conducted by the Vedic directions. That means one is obliged to follow them, therefore the benefit of the living entities, therefore the benefit of the conditioned souls. Conditioned soul has come in the material world because it is indifference to God. So now he has to learn from the hard way, or from the bottom up again, how to be subordinate again to the God. We come with the idea to take the Lord's position, to be the controller and the enjoyer. But as a result, as long as that consciousness is there, one will become degrade oneself. That is the beginning of all of the material life, when one wants to take the Lord's position. So then the Vedic Krishna has given this opportunity to get out to experience less suffering, and then make your way back to Godhead. So one is obliged to follow these rules and regulations, but Prabhupada says you can't. A human being can't, or even a demigod can't enact the laws like that. You can't make your own laws. In other words, we can, but we see the modern laws, they only tend to make things worse in the countries, as we see the civilization that is today. If you read the newspaper, you see that the people aren't becoming happy and satisfied, nor very prosperous. So this is because we're using our own idea. Same disease, envy of God. We don't want to accept God's advice. We've got a better idea. We'll do it our way. And therefore, you see the people become more and more degraded. This is the history is from Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara, then finally Kali, which is the most degraded age. All the very bottom of the barrel living entities are in Kali Yuga. That's you and me. So it behooves one to follow, just as like he says, as a bull is directed by the rope attached to the nose. If the bull just follows the rope, then he doesn't feel any pain. But as soon as he tries to resist that direction and do his own thing, then he suffers, because it's a very painful part of the body of the animal. Another example is the three modes of nature. It gives a similar example. As the bull is tied by a rope, and according to the living entity, he is tethered by the rope of the three gunas, and the mode of goodness is considered to be a long rope. In other words, if you're situated in the mode of goodness, your rope will cover the 14 planetary systems. But if it's a shorter rope, you won't get so far. And if it's a Rajagun, then Tamagun, it's even shorter. You're stuck to the middle and lower planetary systems. So your freedom, so-called freedom, is actually reduced. So this is the idea, that it's meant to actually elevate. These rules are meant to actually elevate one. And then one can have a higher state of existence. So that is the rule. But the free will is always there. Just like we used our free will. I mean, we weren't forced to come to the material world. That was done by free will. So in the same way, we can use our free will to accept this or not. So most people aren't accepting. Unfortunately, generally the leaders don't accept, so they're making their own program. And this way the whole civilization gets misled by these misled people. So this is the situation we're living in. So by some good fortune, one comes into contact with the instructions from the Lord by his devotees. Then he can actually start to perfect his life, even though the rest of the world is going down. The whole of Kali Yuga is actually degrading. But if one follows the principles, even within that, one can elevate oneself, even within that, in that circumstance. In other words, that devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually nothing to do with the modes of nature, nothing to do with the material world. So for the pure devotees, Krishna takes care of. They're acting in the world, but they're not directed by the three modes of material nature. Krishna directly takes control of the activities. So they're not responsible for their for their reactions like ordinary people that that's being conducted by Krishna. So we shouldn't judge the great personalities like here. Lord Brahma was being mildly criticized, but actually they can't be judged because they're playing they're acting on behalf of the Lord. So there's really no option if one doesn't want to suffer. This is the bottom line. So, but then it's a question of faith. Do you actually believe it or not? You actually believe if you follow this. we're only not following because we think we'll be happy if we don't follow. Right? If we follow our own arrangement, we'll be more happy. Everyone's acting for happiness. Everything we do is we want to evolve. We want to gain something. We want to be in a better situation. That's the motivation for all of our activities that we perform. We want to be situated in a better situation. We want happiness. Yeah? Because the material world is actually a distressful condition. The material body is always... but we've been so conditioned by the nature, our parents and their parents who didn't have any knowledge, that is, those who were born outside of the Vedic system. That we're ignored that the state have to be separate. They don't before even in early European history. It was people were quite religious at one time. In America, they started from religious freedom. People were very pious when they first went to America. That is why it's so opulent now, because they're actually very pious people. But with that comfort and whatever they wanted, that freedom to practice their religion, and then the opulence came from Dharma comes Artha, and from Artha comes karma. But the problem is, then you get lost in the karma, the Artha, and you get infatuated by that opulence, and then you think life's okay. Relatively speaking, we're better off than anyone else. One gets in that comfort zone, and then one starts making karma the goal of life, and then again, your sense of gratification here is restricted. Prabhupada said you have to have sense of gratification. It's like salt in a meal. Too much is too bad, and too little is too bad. Also, you won't. So there has to be a balance there. So that's what the Vedic religion is given. It's given that balance. How to live in this material world and satisfy your senses, at the same time become purified. So then sense gratification is allowed, but in restriction. Followers of that. So of course, Vasudeva was chastised mildly chastised by Narada Muni for creating the Vedic literatures in such a way that because mainly they're aiming at sense gratification, ultimately moksha, but most of it is about sense gratification. The Karma Kanda section is probably much bigger than the Jnana Kanda section, because that's what people are interested in mainly. But you don't come into this material world for knowledge of how to get out of the material world or what you will come here to enjoy. So most people are interested in sense gratification and karma. So then, here, if you want karma, you really want to enjoy, this is where you'll get real enjoyment. On Indralok, on Swagalok, Satyalok, all these different, what kind of enjoyment you want. And these are the pious activities you perform, these are the demigods you worship, and this is how to get there. If you're broad-minded, you want happiness in the next life. So then that becomes the main religion, and then that's Vedic, and that becomes all in all. And so they actually miss sight of the real purpose of that is actually just purification, that you're actually following the Lord's directions indirectly. You're following the Lord, you're surrendering unto the Lord, you're following His directions, you're surrendering to Him for happiness, in other words. But the problem is, as soon as you get the happiness, then you can become very forgetful again. Or even not forgetful like all the demigods, because they're very happy because of their pious activities. They've achieved that pose, but still you don't see much inclination to move on from being a demigod into Vaikuntha, into the spiritual world. That interest is not so much there because there's no problems in the heavenly planets. There's no problems there. So that's the main impetus for moving on. As soon as you're in a comfort zone, then why should you, you know, what's the... So it's only one actually has to really... It's only, that's why Krishna says, only by devotional service you can actually get there, because by that devotional service to Krishna, to Vishnu, will give actually one a higher taste than any sense gratification. So until one gets that higher taste, then it's a struggle. Everything's a struggle until one actually achieves a higher taste. Of course, philosophically we become satisfied. Even in the platform of anatta or nirvritti, the devotees become happy and satisfied, even though they're suffering with the mind, suffering with the senses. But still, we know you're doing the right thing. This is the best thing to do. And in due course of time, we'll pass through this and come to the stage of anicca or self-realization, and then real attachment for Krishna can begin. And so that is the real purpose of all of these injunctions. So one is, there's no, as Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not a, what was it? Not an option, something like that, right? It's not an option. He said it's a necessity. You have to take the Krishna consciousness if you actually want at all to get out of the material world. Otherwise, how are you going to get out of the material world without Krishna consciousness in this day and age? Without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how on earth is anyone going to get out of this material world and back to Krishna? That is mercy. So I thought we'd read something about Madhavendra Puri today, being his appearance, I think. He was such a great soul. Who has appearance today? It's Paramashri, who was associate of one of the 12 Dwarasas, Gopals. He was Krishna Shaka in Krishna Lila, I believe, and he appeared and was a close associate of Lord Nityananda. He traveled with Nityananda and others. Not so much of a... Oh, one time they was having this kirtan here in Bengal. They were having this fantastic kirtan, and some atheists were there, and they wanted to disturb the situation. So they there was a dead jackal. So they threw the dead jackal right in the middle of the kirtan, but Parmeshri wasn't fazed. He just carried on singing. He said, and the jackal came back to life. He started howling along with the kirtan. Everyone was ecstatic. And who else was it? Appearance day today? His appearance? Sorry? Madhavendra Puri, eh? And Srinivasacharya, okay. We heard about Srinivasacharya the other day. I can read about a little bit about Madhavendra Puri. There's some quotes from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Madhavendra Puri was the so he appeared in the 14th century. He was the guru in the Madhava, guru in the Brahma or Madhava Sampradaya. He appeared before Lord Chaitanya. Krishna sends, when Krishna appears, he sends his associates before him, and they appear as his elders, his elder relatives. Then he comes with his friends, and others appear afterwards as his children and their children. So Madhavendra Purohit became first. Although he said in I've heard that his actual sarup is a kalpa viksha tree in Vrindavan. I've heard. So actually that's Shantaras. But of course in Vrindavan everything, those things don't really apply. Even those in Shanta or like the cows and the deer, or the cows especially, there, or those are in Shantaras on this place, still they see Krishna as they would like to give Krishna their milk, so they're actually more of a vatsala. And also there's a great competition to be in Madhurya rasa, because it's higher than everything else. Everyone's anxious to get to that. But the example is given of Madhavendra Puri is in Shantar rasa, which is the lowest. But in the highest realms of Madhurya rasa, when Krishna is with Radha, then the Shakyas have to go, then eventually, then later on, the gopis have to go, then finally the Manjaris have to go. And they make a nice flower bed for Krishna in the balance. And that's under a nice tree, a nice kalpa viksha tree. So they're experiencing the pastimes that no one else experiences, or the others. So there's no hierarchy like that in the spiritual world. Don't be so anxious to just go back and serve Krishna in Vrindavan somehow or other. Sorry? Blade of grass. Yeah. All those in earth, they don't have to go away, because they're not like social, they don't have to follow any social rules, and there won't be any embarrassment for themselves or anyone else. So then they get the real thing. That's why the parents can tell all the stories. So he was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha in our parampara, and he was the guru of Nityananda. He's a guru of Advaita Acharya. He's a guru of Mahaprabhu also. When Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri met, they become completely ecstatic. And this is mentioned from the Vrindavan Das, Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Nityananda Prabhu was wandering through southern India, in this way he suddenly encountered Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra was the embodiment of love, as were all his associates. He consumed nothing other than Krishna Ras, and Krishna dwelt in his body. How can I sufficiently glorify him, whose disciple was Advaita Acharya? When Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri, he fainted and became motionless with love. As soon as Madhavendra Puri saw Nityananda, he too completely forgot himself and lost consciousness. No wonder Gauranga repeatedly said that Madhavendra Puri was a harbinger of the ecstatic mood of devotion. Nityananda said, "I have visited many holy sites, but today I have been fulfilled by the sight of Madhavendra Puri. I have finally achieved the true reward of visiting the holy places. I've never seen symptoms of such divine love anywhere else." Madhavendra Puri loses consciousness simply seeing a cloud in the sky. If it's a little dark blue. That's devotee. Madhavendra embraced Nityananda and wet him with his tears. He began to describe Nityananda's glories and became completely absorbed in his description. He took Nityananda to his breast. His throat was so choked with tears that he could not speak. He felt such deep affection for Nityananda that he would not let him go. It's just like when Lord Chaitanya met the same thing. And also with Nityananda, they were just clenched to each other, and they were just stuck glued together for how long, we can't say. And also when Lord Chaitanya met Ishwarapur, it's just a similar situation, right? He was also a disciple of Mandavendra Puri. When he felt such deep affection for Nityananda that he would not let him go, he finally spoke saying, "I know that Krishna is merciful to me, for he has given me a companion like Nityananda. Anyone who feels even the slightest enmity for Nityananda can never be dear to Krishna, no matter how much of a devotee he appears to be." Then there's the story of when Madhavendra Puri found the Gopal deity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in traveling around Puri, they came to Ramuna. Then he told the story to his associates about Madhavendra Puri and how he, Kichor Gopinath, earned his name. Then one day, Madhavendra Puri was circumambulating Govardhana in a state of total intoxication and absorption in love for Krishna. When he arrived at Govinda Kund, he took his bath and sat down beneath a tree to perform his evening Sandhya meditation and rituals. While he was doing so, a young boy approached him with milk, and he said with a smile, What have you been thinking about? He said, "Why didn't you ask for something to eat? I brought you some milk. Please drink it." Then Madhavendra Puri saw that beautiful boy, and he completely forgot that it was hungry or anything like that. He asked, "Who are you? Where do you come from? How do you know I haven't eaten?" And he said, "I'm a cowherd boy and I live in this village. No one goes hungry here." He said, "Some people beg for food," and said, "But if they don't, then I personally bring them food." But he said, "How do you know I was hungry? The ladies came to fetch water from the well and they saw you here. They've seen you here for a long time. You haven't eaten. So they gave me this milk to bring you." He said, you drink this and then I'll come back and take the pot later." So he drank the milk and washed the pot and waited for the boy to come back, but the boy didn't come back. Then he fell asleep. And in his dream, then the same boy came and he took him by the hand and he led him to a place nearby in the forest, and he said, "I live here in this bower, but I am very uncomfortable due to the summer heat and the rains and the winter cold. Go and tell the village people to help you uncover me and take me to the top of the hill and build a shelter for me. Then bathe me with cool, clear water. I've been waiting a long time, wondering when you would come and serve me. I'm waiting for your loving service so that I could show myself and thereby save the entire universe. My name is Gopal, the lifter of Govardhan, Krishna's great-grandson, Aniruddha's son, Vajra, established my service many years ago, but the pujari in charge of my service hid me here when he fled out of fear of the Muslims. Since then I have been here. It's good that you have finally come. Now, please dig me up." The Madhavendra Puri woke up and began crying, thinking about that vision he had. And that this boy, Krishna, came to me personally. I couldn't recognize him. He gave me the pot and walked away. And I'm so fortunate and unfortunate. So then he took a bath and he got all the people and they went to that place and then they found the Dedi, covered with earth and jungle. Then they lifted him, carried him top of the hill, and they put him on a big rock. Then he had a big abhishek, it's Krishna's instructions. And they took water from Govardhan Kund, and a few hundred new jugs, and it was announced that the puja abhishek would be held, and all the villagers became very jubilant, and they began kirtans, and everyone brought offerings. We know the story. And Madhavendra himself performed the abhishek, bathing. First of all, he cleaned the accumulated dirt from the body of the deity, according to the regulations. The scriptures say that barley, wheat flour, and a powder made from some Latin name here. Where is rice? That's when we have the abhishek, we sprinkle that powder on the deity. Or the other crushed seeds. There's another description here. It's for cleaning the body. It's kind of a little abrasive. Sometimes you do it with crushed sesame seeds. Also, we do that. That was the first thing we did for Nrisingadeva. And you feel very enlivened and very cool after that. In South India, they still do that to the people, humans. So if someone's giving you a nice welcome, they give you a massage in that paste, you'll become very cool and very refreshed senses. One devotee was telling us his relatives do it. He's married to a South Indian girl. He's not here. But he said, someone feels so good. He said, so invigorated. Then here it says, the scriptures say that barley and wheat flour and a powder, and as well as pistachio nuts, powdered, saffron, and pulses are to be used to clean the deity's body, and also a brush made from using usira grass and the hair of a cow's tail. That's what we were using. There, that's attar and banana flour and kumkum, and that gets all the sticky stuff. And when we put that powder on, that gets all the ghee gets dried. All the ghee that make it caught in the small parts and the intricate parts, that absorbs all that, and you wash it, brush it all away. And then afterwards he polished Gopal's body and made it shiny with oil, and then bathed him again, first in Panchagavya, five things from the cow, and then Panchamrita, that's milk, yogurt, ghee, honey, and sugar. After this he was bathed with 100 jugs of water, Mahashnan, in which ghee and water are used in equal parts here. And a total of 100 seers of water are needed. A seer is approximately equal to a liter. After bathing the deity in this way and oiling him once again, Madhavendra Puri bathed him again with scented water and sandalwood and perfumes poured from a conch. After the deity's great bath was completed, the entire body was dried with a cloth, and he was dressed in a clean cloth and decorated with sandal and tulsis and flowers, garlands, just as Krishna instructed the cowherds at the end of Dwapara Yuga to worship Govardhan with a mountain of foodstuff. So in the Kali Yuga, Madhavendra Puri ordered a mountain of food to be prepared for Giridhari Gopal. 10 Brahmins were engaged in preparing rice, another 5 in cooking vegetable preparations, another 5 or 6 prepared some types of breads, which is all brought together in one place to be heaped up in the shape of a mountain, and all kinds of other list, a whole list of things. This oil, we apologize for the, if anyone got a little sick yesterday or the day before yesterday, the this oil abhishek you do first, and then you take that off, and then you begin the abhishek. The oil we sent, we do a lot of oil because Jayavataka Maharaj takes it all over the world, and we distribute that oil. So we sent two pots in there. One pot didn't go in; it got left outside, and they mixed it up with the bathing ingredients, and we thought it was panicum, but actually it was essential oil. It was very intense oil. There was camphor oil and lemongrass oil and clove oil and vanilla oil. It was really heavy, and then people drank that on an empty stomach. It knocked a few people out, so we have to apologize for that. But fortunately, it was all pure stuff. Otherwise, if it was chemical, it could have been. So we apologize for that. It won't happen again. We'll not do that again. So then all the villagers came, and then all the rich countries, they built a big temple for Gopal and gave him 10,000 cows. And Madhavendra remained there for 2 years serving the deity, until once again he had a dream. Gopal came in a dream and said it was too hot, he should go and get some sandalwood. So then he went to the south and brought the sandalwood back, and then he appeared. Then who was it? Who took that? Gopinath? Kicho Gopinath? He took that. He said, no, I'm the same person. No need to take it there. Give it to me. I'll accept it too. We're the same person. So, then, one important instruction here is from his last instruction. There was a Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's comments on this. Said, although, when Ramchandra Puri saw his guru suffering from intense separation, he was crying, where is Krishna? I never saw my Krishna Nath. I never saw Krishna. So then he began to say, you're not the body, don't worry, don't lament, you're not the body, and say the Brahman. And he said, get away. Curse him. So on that, there is a lesson to be learned, because he said that Ramchandra Puri saw his guru suffering a separation in Krishna. He was incapable of recognizing the transcendental nature of his transport of emotions. He judged his guru to be an ordinary man and took his mood to be mundane, the result of some material insufficiency. As a result, Ramchandra tried to explain to him the value of experiencing oneness of Brahman. Madhavendra Puri reacted unfavorably to his disciple's stupidity and disregard for his teachings, and thus stopped wishing for his well-being. He abandoned him and drove him away. The words material desires, vasana, means the desire for dry knowledge, and from that arose the tendency to criticize the devotees. On the other hand, Ishvara Puri not only adhered to his guru's teachings, but served him physically and thus received his mercy. He served the lotus feet of his spiritual master, even to the point of personally cleaning his urine and feces, as well as helping him to perform Shravana of Krishna's name and pastimes. In this way, he satisfied him completely. He continually repeated the name of Krishna and recounted Krishna's pastimes to him. Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with Ishvara Puri that he embraced him and blessed him, may you have the treasure of love of Krishna. From that time onward, Ishvara Puri became an ocean of love for Krishna, while Ramchandra Puri became a mine of insults. These two personalities thus bear witness to the results of pleasing or displeasing a great soul. Madhavendra Puri taught this truth through them. He was a spiritual master of the whole world. He gave the gift of love of God, and he left this world while repeating this verse. O Lord, whose heart softens at seeing the condition of the unfortunate. O Lord of Mathura, when will I ever see you? My heart is filled with pain from not seeing you, my love, and I am confused. What can I do? That's what his mood of leaving his body, great separation. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, he became so intoxicated that Lord Nityananda had to hold him to calm him down. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes, "The feeling of separation from Krishna, or transcendental vipralamba, is the only practice by which the spirit soul can achieve perfection. Material feelings of separation give rise to a despondency that reveals the attachment one has for matter, whereas a despondency that results from the feelings of separation from Krishna are the best proof of one's desire to bring pleasure to his senses. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses, known by Madhavendra Puri, the great soul who is the root of this movement, is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. It is especially worth remarking that Mahaprabhu and his closest followers later adopted this example and made it their standard." Jai Sri Madhavendra Puri Pat Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tai Go Pramanandi.